Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6, if you would please. We're going to continue with our Christian armor here. I hope you'll have these verses memorized by the time we're done. If you notice, Dan read the same scripture we read last week, and we'll probably read the same scripture next week. They're good verses to memorize and to bring to mind when we're in trouble. I wrote here, you don't have to be a Christian very long to figure out we are engaged in a spiritual battle. The enemy stands against everything that is holy and righteous, and he seeks to defeat as many believers as possible. Satan knows it is a battle he will never win, but he seeks to create as much damage among the ranks that he can. Defeated Christians are no longer productive for the Lord. They are not making a difference in the lives of others. They are not advancing the kingdom for the glory of our Lord. It is easy to understand why the enemy seeks our defeat. Last week, we found the preparations necessary to be successful in this battle. We found out that as we walk in communion with the Lord and receive instruction from his word, we are equipped for battle. The Lord provides everything that we need to be victorious in our lives, in our Christian lives. And that's what I wanted to cover today. In this passage, Paul reveals the armor all believers are to wear as they engage the enemy in battle. We must be familiar with the armor and ensure that it is properly worn if we are to overcome the adversary's advances. You know, Satan's tactics change, but our armor has been proven in battle. It is designed by the Lord and continues to be effective for the soldier's success. And whether you know it or not, and I think you do, that each one of us that knows Christ as our Savior are soldiers in the Lord's army. We are. Every believer must be clothed in battle armor if they are to obtain victory. This morning, I just want to look at three elements of the armor. Next week, we'll look at the other three. And we'll just get through these three this morning. First of all, if you have your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 14, if you would, please. It says, "Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Most of us today don't gird our loins, just for reference here. Today we buckle belts around our waists. The belt of the Roman soldier uniform, however, did more than hold his pants up or add a bit of stylish flair to his outfit. This heavy, 6-inch wide leather belt secured the soldier's tunic so that the material, the material that he wore, his shirt, wouldn't hamper his movement. It also helped hold in place his breastplate and the sheath of his weapon. You can see that the belt of truth was very important. The belt thus had the important function of keeping him free, protected, and agile enough to attack or defend, whichever the situation in battle required. In Paul's image here, the belt is composed of truth, the truth of God, revealed in his written word. If you're taking notes this morning, John 17:17, you can mark that down. It says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." I just want to interject here. You know what? Whether you believe God's word is truth or whether you don't believe God's word is truth, God's word is truth, whether you believe it or not. And then you know what? That's really true. And you can take that to the bank. You can trust God's word. You know what? In our society today, in our world today, there's not a whole lot of truth. And that's sad. But you know what? God's word is truth. And not only the truth of God's written word, it also includes truth of character or integrity. Practical living that conforms to the instruction of God's word. I want to read you another verse here just to prove my point. 2 John 1:4. It says, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. It is imperative the soldier possesses the girdle of truth because the enemy seeks to present and promote a lie. And that's why it's important, folks, for us to know the truth of the Word of God, because Satan is a liar. Let me just read you John 8:44. It says, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. I wrote here, our world today is filled with lies and deception. That is why we must be clothed in truth. In the heat of the battle, when the flaming arrows of deception are flying around us and unjust accusations explode close enough to impact us, we need the truth of the doctrine and truth of character to keep us from falling apart. This is why Paul urges us to keep that belt pulled tight, to keep the truth of God's word close to us, to keep his truth, Jesus himself, at the center of our lives, and to maintain our strength with unquestioned integrity. As members of Christ's army, we're to stay true to what the Bible says is right. Doing so will keep us safe from countless dangers. I wrote here, God's word stands as the measure and guide for our lives. It is final and it's absolute. We must be clothed in the truth of God's word if we are to endure. Truth helps hold our lives together. Life without truth will eventually fall apart. Truth protects against being tossed to and fro with the cares and deceits of life. Truth aids our journey, helping us avoid pitfalls or being tripped up in battle. If we are to overcome the enemy and enjoy spiritual victory, we must put on the girdle of truth. John 8:32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I found that many folks struggle with the truth. They wrestle with the truth before accepting the truth. It was interesting, if you want to read, Billy Graham's biography is in the library. Billy Graham said, in August of 1949, I was so filled with doubts about everything that when I stood to preach and made a statement, I would say to myself, I wonder if that is true. I wonder if I can really say that sincerely. He said, then he took the Bible up into the high Sierra Nevada mountains in California. He said, I opened it and got on my knees. I pled, Father, I cannot understand many things in this book. I cannot come intellectually all the way. But he said, I accept it by faith to be authoritative, the inspired word of the living God. Billy Graham had come to the point where he received the truth. Have you believed the truth? Have you received the truth? When we are bold in the truth, we will speak out for the truth, and we will stand up for the truth. There are times that we have to take hold, bold stands for our faith. We are called to stand for the truth. In this world in which we live, truth is being attacked, being pushed aside, being denied, being neglected. You know, it's the church's responsibility to proclaim the truth, take stand for the truth, and speak out for the truth. We need to stand up for the truth. As Christian soldiers, we have the responsibility to honor Jesus and lift up Jesus in this dark world. We are to speak out for the truth, and we are to stand up for the truth, God's truth. Secondly, let's look at the breastplate of righteousness. Look at verse 14 again, if you would, please. The second part of that verse says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness is the next element of the armor we must possess. It is worn around the torso of the body. Some breastplates covered an area from the neck to the thighs. It served to protect the vital areas of the body, specifically the heart. We know the heart is essential to life. Right, Arthur? Yep. Good to see you here this morning, too. We know the heart is essential to life. The same is true for our spiritual existence as well. The heart is often associated with the righteousness of life. The believer's heart is focused upon Christ, our Savior, and we must guard the heart against all assaults. Satan is known as the accuser of the brethren. He seeks anything he can find to bring against us. In order to overcome such accusations, we must be clothed in righteousness, guarding our hearts from his advance. Having the breastplate of righteousness is our only hope. And as I thought about this, I wanted to mention a couple of aspects of the believer's righteousness. I wanted to make this clear. I hope you understand this. I hope I don't confuse you. I want to look at, if you're taking notes, first of all, positional righteousness. Positional righteousness. This is the righteousness we have in Christ. By virtue of salvation, we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ our Lord. Let me give you a verse for that. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Okay, that means I stand righteous before God because of Christ's righteousness. Because Christ's righteousness was accredited to my account. His righteousness will never fail. Regardless of the duration or intensity of the battle, the righteousness of Christ will prevail. Our positional righteousness is not a piece of armor we put on. The saved are clothed in righteousness of Christ from the moment of salvation. I hope you understand that. From the moment, the time that you asked Christ to come into your life, you were clothed in his righteousness. However, we do not enter battle bearing the righteousness of Christ. It never leaves us. That brings peace to my heart, and I praise the Lord for that. I am often weak in the flesh, and the enemy is strong. In the heat of the battle, while we are prone to stumble and fall, Satan is never able to penetrate the righteousness of Christ. I have been adopted into the family of God. Have you? Are you in the family of God this morning? I am counted righteousness because of Christ, my Savior. I may lose the battle now and again, but his righteousness always prevails. Positional righteousness. And then there's a second part of this. It's practical righteousness. Practical righteousness deals with the breastplate itself. Fortified by the life we live. As soldiers for the Lord, we are expected to live our lives in light of his holiness. Our everyday lives will either strengthen us in the battle or make it easier for Satan to accuse and defeat us. The enemy is relentless in his efforts to defeat us, but we can avoid some battles by guarding our hearts. Seeking to live holy and upright before the Lord will protect us in the battle. It will preserve our witness and ability to share Christ effectively. The enemy may roar, but a pure life will be above reproach. When our hearts are not right with the Lord due to sin, we lose our joy, we lose our zeal for service, and the passion for Christ is not there as it should be. Often we lose our desire to pray and read the Bible. Failing to bear the breastplate of righteousness is detrimental to the success and well-being of you and me as a soldier. Make certain it is worn and placed properly. I don't know if you've ever been to Scott Air Force Base down in Illinois, Belleville, Illinois, but there's a big sign that hangs outside the base there. It says, "An untrained soldier is just a target." I like that. It made me think. Then thirdly, the shoes of the gospel, verse 15. It says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Again, we deal with a piece of armor that is less noticeable, but extremely important. The soldier must be able to stand the fight. He may be called upon to stand guard against the enemy's approach or over extended periods of time. It's impossible to stand without properly protecting and providing for the feet. The Roman soldiers of Paul's day had interesting footwear. Their sandals were made of durable leather, having pieces of metal or nails placed on the soles, ensuring traction and sure footing on treacherous slopes. The soldier enjoyed confidence in his ability to stand due to the grips of his shoes. In principle, the soldier was well grounded. We too must be well grounded. We must be able to stand when faced with the enemy. Our lives must be settled in the Lord, grounded in what we believe and in whom we believe. Many today are not grounded in their faith. I'm amazed at how long some people have known Christ and they don't really know the basics of God's word. It's because they don't read God's word. They don't study God's word. It's not important to them. But it's very important that we're grounded in God's word. I wrote here, there is little depth in their Christian lives. They are prone to wander or be led astray by the doctrines of this world. It is essential that we know what we believe and why we believe it. And the only way you're going to know that, folks, is by getting into God's word. Our footing against Satan is our peace with God. Christ has secured this peace for us. And you can read all about that if you want in Ephesians chapter 2. Peace not only with God, but also with one another and within ourselves. As a result of this peace, our Lord will never condemn us. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Satan may pressure us all he wants, trying to convince us that God will reject and judge us when we falter. But if we know that our peace with God is secure, then we won't slip and fall. We'll stand stable and firm against the devil's taunts and will gain ground against his opposition so that we can spread the good news of peace with God through Christ to this troubled world around us and to our sphere of influence, those people that we have impact on. I wrote here, the Christian soldier must be certain of his or her salvation. We must be settled in the fundamentals of our faith. When we stand shod in the gospel of peace, we have peace in our hearts and with the Lord, even in the midst of the raging battle. A soldier who is grounded in the Lord will be able to stand against the enemy. Soldiers weren't only expected to stand. There were times when they had to march long distances over difficult terrain to obtain victory. They were called to serve their country at all cost. And you know, the Christian is called to a life of service as well. As we go in service to the Lord, facing the assaults of the enemy, we must have our feet shod with the gospel of peace, desiring to share the gospel with others as we travel. Many today have been wounded in battle and need someone to encourage them. Others we encounter have never met Christ in salvation and stand in desperate need of the gospel being presented to them. May we do our part as faithful soldiers of the cross. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Are you prepared for that? I think that's a lot of times that's why we don't witness, because we're afraid that someone's going to ask us a question that we don't know, and we shouldn't do that. You know what? Be a witness. Share the testimony. Share your testimony with those folks around you. How did God save you? That's a good place to start. But we should always be ready to give an answer. I have here the Spirit-filled believer who is fully clad in God's armor can sing confidently with John Newton. And I got this poem he wrote here. It's a song. I didn't look it up to find out what song it was, but just let me read you this couple of stanzas here. It says, though my foes beset you round and feeble is your arm, your life is hid with Christ and God beyond the realm of harm. Weak as you are shall not fade, or fainting shall not die. Jesus, the strength of every saint, will aid you from on high. Though unperceived by mortal sense, faith sees him always near. A guide, a glory, a defense. What have you to fear? As surely as he overcame and triumphed once for you, so surely you that love his name shall in him triumph too. I like that. I like that. We have the victory in Christ, folks. We do. We just got to be smart and put on the whole armor of God and live our lives for Christ. I wrote here, when Paul wrote his letter to the Ephesians, he was under house arrest, waiting to appear before Caesar. We can read about his two-year wait in the last verses of Acts. But in the last chapter of Ephesians, we can also see that through his body, even though his body was imprisoned, his mind remained free and active. Guarded by Caesar's soldiers day after day, Paul closely observed their armor, studying the helmet, the breastplate, the belt, the boots, the shield, and the sword. He began to think about warfare. In physical battle, the soldiers would be well protected. But in a spiritual battle against invisible foes, all that equipment would be utterly useless. In the face of the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places, our only hope for victory comes from Christ. For our only provision of protection comes from the Father. As believers caught in the midst of an ongoing spiritual conflict with periodic explosive battles that bring on total warfare, how can we risk being caught unprepared? Isn't it time to take our spiritual lives seriously? It's time to stop being content with simply having a new life through Christ. We need to live the new life by the power of the Spirit. Have you put on the full armor of God? How prepared are you to stand strong when the next wave of Satan's attacks tries to knock you on your back? Are you prepared for that? Think through just the three pieces that we looked at this morning and evaluate the state of your readiness today. The belt of truth. How well are you living the truth of God's word? Are there any areas in your life where your integrity could be called into question? Are there secrets you're hiding? Sins you're concealing? Ongoing deceptions or half-truths you just can't live with anymore? Take steps today to tighten the belt of truth before you lose control. How about the breastplate of righteousness? Have you been content merely to receive the grace of justification, being declared righteous by God, but reluctant to yield to the grace of sanctification, being made more righteous by the work of the Spirit? Are there clear areas in your life which personal morality and holiness have been compromised? Are there chinks in your armor that could easily become primary targets for Satan's precision archers? What can you do to strengthen these weak places? And then the shoes of the gospel of peace. Do you have trouble resting in the peace Christ has secured for you? Do you fret, worry, or linger over things beyond your control? Or do you fail at extending peace toward others? Do you constantly stir the pot, bringing disquieted and chaos into people's lives? To have a life characterized by peace, you must turn to the Prince of Peace, who alone can restrain the prince of darkness. Praise the Lord for that. Folks, we're engaged in a spiritual conflict today. The enemy is relentless in his attacks. We do not have to face the battle unprepared. We do not. God has given us everything we need to defeat the enemy. If there are elements in your armor that are weak, why not come to the Lord and allow him to strengthen and clothe you in his might? If you have never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you have never repented of your sin, then you are a prisoner of war. Satan has taken you captive to do his will. You do not have the benefit of the Christian armor. You are forced to face the struggles of life alone. You don't have to live a defeated and hopeless life. Christ gave himself a ransom for sin. He paid your debt on the cross, and you can be saved today if you will respond to his gracious offer. Your greatest need is to be saved from the coming wrath. Would you receive the Lord Jesus today? And I wrote here, thankfully for us who know the Lord, our spiritual armor is to be used in a war that has already been won. It is said of Napoleon Bonaparte that as he attempted to conquer all the kingdoms of the known world, he spread a map on a table, pointed to a specific place, and said to his lieutenants, "Sirs, if it weren't for that red spot, I could conquer the world." The spot to which he pointed was the British Isles, the very nation that met Napoleon at Waterloo in Belgium and defeated him in the League with a group of nations. There is no doubt that when Satan talks with his minions about the conquering the world, he says the same thing about the Red Hill of Calvary, where Christ's blood was spilled. If it were not for that red spot, I could rule the world. But you know, folks, that red spot is what makes all the difference of our spiritual battle. We do not have to live in fear of the devil. We need enter only the spiritual battle to which we have been called, aware of its realities and armed with the truth that the ultimate victory against Satan has already been achieved. Therefore, right now, at this moment, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We all should say amen to that. Let's pray. Father, we just looked at three pieces of the armor that you provided for us, Lord, and I pray if there's pieces of armor that we're not wearing properly or, Lord, that are damaged, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us and show us the areas in our lives that we need to deal with, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us a victory, the victory that you provided for us, Lord, and help us not to live in sin, Lord, but to be the people that you want us to be. Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.